The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter number 15, Texts number 38 and 39. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on October 2nd, 2011, in Tallinn, Estonia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Te Vasudevaya. Grihastasya.
Grihastasya.
Kriyatyaga. Vratatyaga. Vato. Api.
Api.
Tapasvina.
Tapasvina.
Gramaseva, Bhikshu, Indriyalalata, Grihastasya Kriyatyago, Vratatyago, Vatorapi, Tapasvino grama seva,
Tapasvino grama seva,
Bhikshurindriya lolata,
Bhikshurindriya lolata,
Grihastasya kriyatyago,
Grihastasya kriyatyago,
Vratatyago vatorapi,
Vratatyago vatorapi,
Tapasvino grama seva,
Tapasvino grama seva,
Bhikshurindriya lolata,
Bhikshurindriya lolata,
Grihastasya,
Grihastasya,
for a person situated in householder life,
for a person situated in householder life,
Kriyatyaga,
Kriyatyaga,
to give up the duty of a householder.
Отказ от выполнения обязанностей грихасты.
Vratatyaga,
Vratatyaga,
to give up vows and austerity.
Отказ от соблюдения обетов и аскезы.
Vato, for a brahmachari. Api, also, tapasvina,
tapasvina,
for a vanaprastha, one who has adopted a life of austerities. Grama seva, to live in a village and serve the people therein. Bhikshu, for a sannyasi who lived by begging alms. Indriyalalata, addicted to sense enjoyment. Ashrama, of the spiritual orders of life. Apasada, the most abominable. He, indeed, ate all these. Kalu, indeed, ashrama vidambana, imitating and therefore cheating the different spiritual orders.
имитирующий принадлежность к различным укладам духовной жизни.
Дева Майя Deva Maya Vimudhan, who are bewildered by the external energy of the Supreme Lord. Tan, them. Upekshita, one should reject and not accept as genuine. Anukampaya, or by compassion, teach them real life. Ashrama pasadahiyete kalavrashrama vid. Vedambana Deva Maya Vimudang Shtan Upekshetanu Kampaya. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is abominable for a person living in the Grihastha Ashram to give up the regulated principles. For a brahmachari not to follow the brahmachari vows while living under the care of the guru. For a vanaprastha to live in the village and engage in so-called social activities, or for a sannyasi to be addicted to sense gratification. One who acts in this way is to be considered the lowest renegade. Such a pretender is bewildered by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one should either reject him from any position, or, taking compassion upon him, teach him, if possible, to resume his original position. We have repeatedly stressed that human culture does not begin unless one takes to the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Although Grihastha life is a concession for the enjoyment of sex, one cannot enjoy sex without following the rules and regulations of householder life. Furthermore, as already instructed, a brahmachari must live under the care of a guru. Brahmachari guru kule vasan danto guru hitam. If a brahmachari does not live under the care of the guru, if a vanaprastha engages in ordinary activities, or if a sannyasi is greedy and eats meat, eggs, and all kinds of nonsense for the satisfaction of his tongue, he is a cheater and should immediately be rejected as unimportant. Such persons should be shown compassion, and if one has sufficient strength, one should teach them to stop them from following the wrong path in life. Otherwise, one should reject them and pay them no attention.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatha Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganitam Vitantam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Jaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha.
So, no matter what you may be, whether you're a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or a sannyasi, do not cheat. Follow the principles for your ashram. It's like a grihastha, he is allowed to have sex pleasure for producing Krishna conscious children. That, does that give him license to have sex pleasure for recreation? Then now I'm married, I can have sex whenever I want.
так, что я женился, и теперь у меня я могу иметь секс, когда мне заблагорассудится.
That is called Grihamedi life, not Grihastha life.
Это называется жизнь Грихамедхи, а не жизнь Грихастхи.
A householder, he can have sex reproducing Krishna conscious children.
Семейный человек может заниматься сексом для того, чтобы вырастить потом сознающих Кришны детей.
He can have as many children as he is able to maintain.
У него может быть столько детей, сколько он сможет потом содержать.
If he can maintain 100 children, he can have 100 children. But he cannot have illicit sex. Similarly, the brahmachari, he must remain under the care of the guru. That means he should live in the ashram. The ISKCON temples, they are ashrams. The brahmachari is meant to live in the guru ashram. And the vanaprastha is meant to become disinterested in social activities. He's not interested in mundane society, friendship and love. His only interest is Krishna consciousness. Cultivating Krishna consciousness. And spreading Krishna consciousness. That is vanaprastha. And the sannyasi must be completely free from any addiction to material sense gratification. So Bhagavatam is speaking very strongly here. That any grihastha, vanaprastha, brahmachari or sannyasi who is not up to the standard, they are considered the lowest renegades. And there's two ways to deal with them. One is, you completely reject them. Don't pay any attention to them, just completely neglect them. And the other is, if one is able to, be compassionate upon them and preach to them. Help them to become a proper grihastha. A proper brahmachari. A proper vanaprastha. A proper sannyasi. That is the best thing. To become compassionate. Vaishnava means compassionate. The Vaishnava is an ocean of mercy. It's like the rain cloud pours the torrents of water upon the forest fire. The Vaishnava is like that rain cloud of mercy. Extinguishing the fire of material existence, which is blazing in the heart of the non-devotees, and blazing in the heart of the renegade grihasthas, brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis. So, is that the pure devotee's mercy? Actually, it's not the pure devotee's mercy. It's Krishna's mercy. When the forest fire is put out by the rain cloud, did the rain cloud manufacture that water? No. It simply delivers the water. The water comes from the ocean. So it's actually Krishna's mercy. We say it's the pure devotee's mercy. It is his mercy in one sense. It's his mercy to deliver to us the mercy of Krishna. That is his mercy. But it is actually Krishna's mercy. That rain cloud is bringing the water from the ocean to extinguish that blazing fire of material existence. So we can see how important it is that there not be these cheating persons. The world is full of these cheating rascals. So-called sannyasis, so-called grihasthas, so-called brahmacharis, and so-called vanaprasthas. In our ISKCON movement, we have to have genuine brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, sannyasis, and brahmacharis. We don't want cheating brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, grihasthas, and sannyasis in this movement. If you're a brahmachari, you be a genuine brahmachari. If you're a grihastha, you be a genuine grihastha. If you're a vanaprastha, be a genuine vanaprastha. If you're a sannyasi, be a genuine sannyasi. We don't need imitation people in this movement. We need genuine people. This movement is meant to lead the entire world out of chaos. So every devotee, you should strive for pure devotion. Not simply making a show of Krishna consciousness. Every devotee must cultivate Krishna consciousness within their heart. Every devotee must strive for prema bhakti. And to do that, whatever your ashram is, you have to be true to your ashram. If you're a brahmachari, then you see every woman as mother. You don't sit around and shoot the breeze with the girls. You are aloof from feminine association. And if you're a married man, you're not interested in sitting around and talking with women. You have your relationship with your wife, but other women, they are also mother, just like a brahmachari sees them as mothers. So in this way, we have to establish these Vedic principles. Sometimes people find them harsh or impractical, but that's not true. This Vedic culture is very practical. This Vedic culture went on for millions of years on this planet. Before the advent of Kali Yuga, it went on for millions of years. Bringing great peace and happiness throughout the entire earth. Only 5,000 years ago, because of that little rascal Shringi, cursing Parikshit Maharaj, this Kali Yuga got in somehow or other. So now we can drive away the influence of Kali. By the Sankirtan movement, we can drive Kali into remission. Kali is a cancer. It's a social cancer that has infected the human society. So just as through chemotherapy, cancer can be put into remission. We have another type of therapy that we're doing on the cancer-inflicted society. That is called Sankirtan therapy.
sankirtan terapie.
By the sankirtan therapy.
S pomocou sankirtan terapie.
By massive Harinam Sankirtan, massive book distribution, massive prasadam distribution, we can put that Kali Yuga into remission. We can bring the golden era of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on this planet. It's predicted in the scriptures. There will be a 10,000-year period of Chaitanya's movement. That 10,000-year period began 500 years ago. So this is a very exciting moment in world history. Chaitanya's movement was contained for 5 centuries within India. And it was only by the divine potency and the mercy of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, that this movement now has inundated the entire earth. Actually, it has already inundated the earth. But it's still in the seedling stage. The seeds of Lord Chaitanya's movement have been planted all over the world. Now it's up to us to be the gardeners, to nurture those seeds. So this Harinam Sankirtan, this book distribution, Vishad distribution, this is nurturing those seeds. The more we preach this Krishna consciousness, those seeds will begin to come up. And the seed then will become seedling. And then a full-blown creeper, bhakti creeper. So we want to bring out millions of bhakti creepers all over the world. In every town and village there should be hundreds and thousands of bhakti creepers coming up. From the hearts of the conditioned souls. We want to make thousands and millions of devotees all over the world. Billions of devotees we want to make. How will we do it? Prabhupada gave a very simple formula. He said, if you will simply read, chant, and preach as much as possible. Then very soon this Krishna consciousness movement will become the only religion in the world. Is that difficult to read Prabhupada's books? It's the sweetest nectar to read Prabhupada's books. Is it difficult to chant? It's the sweetest nectar to chant. Is it difficult to preach? It's unlimitedly sweet nectar to preach Krishna consciousness. Why do you think I'm traveling all over the world with this old man's body? Do you think I'm traveling to see the Eiffel Tower? Am I traveling to see the Eiffel Tower? Or the Taj Mahal? I don't waste my time with that stupidity. I'm traveling so I can preach. Because there's unlimited nectar in preaching Krishna consciousness. So these three things, It's very simple. Read, chant, and preach. And this will become the only religion in the world. So what does that mean? Dharmak prajita kaitava tavar paramo nirmatsaranam satam. That's what it means. The Bhagavatam is completely defeating all forms of bogus religion. This is that cheating religion that is called Kaitava Dharma. That I go to God and say, oh my dear Lord, I want this, 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 this. I'm supposedly very devoted to God, but I'm simply asking Him, give me, give me, give me, give me. Everybody is guilty of Kaitava Dharma. Going to God to fulfill their material desires. The Christians are guilty. Christians are guilty. Muslims are guilty. The Jews are guilty. The Hindus are guilty. Everybody is guilty of going to God, give me, give me, give me, give me. Where is the genuine bhakti? There's no bhakti. It is simply lobha. They are greedy. And because God is fulfilling their greedy desire, therefore they have that so-called devotion to God. The Christians say, dear God, please give us this day our daily bread. I ask you this question. Is that devotion to God? Or is that devotion to bread? They're devoted to bread, you see. They're not devoted to God. But Krishna consciousness means you become devoted to God. You become completely free of all material desires. Tat paritvena nirmalam. That mala, that material desire, that's mala. So nirmala. You become completely nirbal with no desires in the heart for any material things. Someone may say, well, if I don't desire material things, how will I survive? Does a little child have to ask his parents, my dear parents, will you feed me today? How many of you growing up in your house said, Mommy and Daddy, will you feed me today? You never had to ask your parents to feed you. So why do we think that we have to ask God to feed us? Please feed me today. Give me my daily bread. Please give me my daily chapatis, Lord. This is nonsense. You don't have to ask God for these things. He's your loving Father. You just ask God, how can I serve you? That is genuine love of God, you see. My dear Lord, how can I serve you? This is genuine religion. To approach God, how can I serve you? So that is the unique contribution of the Krishna consciousness movement. We are teaching everyone pure bhakti. We don't say you have to give up being a Christian. No, you become a real Christian. We don't say to give up being a Muslim. No, you become a real Muslim. A real Jew, a real Hindu. by asking God, how can I serve you? So that is our Krishna consciousness process. And whether I'm a brahmachari, vanaprastha, grahastha, sannyasi, I must become fixed properly in my ashram. Following the rules and regulations of that ashram. And then I must preach. I must become a self-realized soul who understands who is Krishna, who is working in such a way that Krishna will appreciate this person is working hard for me. So in this way we will be successful individually and collectively. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
So the question is it good that when I ask Lord that my love to Him would grow, or is it better to just ask about devotional service for devotional service?
Is it better to just ask for the devotional service, or is it best to ask that my love for the Lord will grow? That's the question. So, I was with Srila Prabhupada in 1975 in Atlanta, Georgia. And one Sankirtan leader, book distribution party leader, he asked Prabhupada a question. Now, Prabhupada was always saying that there was nothing that pleases me more than distributing my books. So this devotee, he was the head of a book distribution party. He raised his hand to ask a question. He got recognized. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? And we could all sense, at least I could sense it, because he was just waiting to hear distributing my books, because he was a book distribution leader. So there was a hushed silence throughout the entire room as we waited for Prabhupada's answer. What will Srila Prabhupada say? We were all wondering. There's about 300 of us in the room. And then Prabhupada said, if you love Krishna. So actually the most important thing is to develop your love for Krishna. All these devotional activities we're doing are for this one purpose. To awaken the love for Krishna within your heart. Whether it's Harinam Sankirtan, whether it's classes, whether it's Anang Prashadam, whether it's worshipping the deities, distributing books, raising a Krishna conscious family, whatever you're doing, it's simply for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to awaken the dormant love for Krishna that's sleeping within your heart. These activities are for that purpose. So you can pray for both. My dear Lord, please bless me. I can serve you in a first-class way in the deity department. My dear Lord, please bless me. I can do a first-class service on Harinam Sankirtan. My dear Lord, please bless me. I can do a first-class job of managing this temple. Those prayers are wonderful. Because by doing your service in a first-class way, that will help you to awaken the love of Krishna within your heart. And what is one of the 9 types of service? Praying. So you can also pray, my dear Lord, please bless me that I can pray to you in a first-class way. Please bless me that I can pray to you in such a way that pure love for you will become fully manifested in my heart. So pray for pure bhakti. That is the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. And it's also to be engaged in devotional activity. It's both things. Pure bhakti is not inert. My dear Lord, I want pure bhakti, but I don't want to do anything. I don't want to do any service, I just want pure bhakti. I just want to sit upstairs in the Brahmacharya Ashram in the lotus position and have pure bhakti. No, pure bhakti means activity. Like Hanuman, like Arjuna, that is pure bhakti. Pure bhakti means you get out there and you save the world for Prabhupada. That is pure bhakti. Pure bhakti means create a beautiful Vaikuntha atmosphere here in this temple. That is pure bhakti. Any other questions? Yeah.
What is the main responsibilities from husband to wife, and what is the main responsibility of wife to husband?
What is the main responsibility to husband to wife and wife to husband? Yes. The main responsibility of the husband for the wife is to deliver that woman back to home, back to Godhead. That is stated in the scriptures. One should not become a husband unless you can deliver your wife and the repetition of birth and death. Is that by waving some magic wand over your wife's head? No, that's by engaging her in Krishna consciousness. And the wife also, she's meant to serve the husband by in seeing that he's always engaged in Krishna consciousness. The Bhagavatam describes that the wife is a fortress. Fortress, you know, like a fort, like the military as a fort. She is meant to protect the husband from the influence of the material energy. So the wife protects the husband, and the husband protects the wife. It goes both ways. They are meant to help each other become Krishna conscious. But the brahmachari shouldn't think, oh, that sounds really nice. Maybe I should get married. You're supposed to have that between your brahmachari friends also, you see. It's like I'm in my brahmachari days. Me and one brahmachari, we became very good friends. Baba Bhuti Prabhu. He is now left this, he is now departed. He died. But we used to have a thing that we would always take prasadam together and we would only talk Krishna Katha. We were Krishna Katha buddies. And it was very nice. I have very nice memories of my dear brahmachari godbrother Baba Bhuti Prabhu. So to have an intimate friend with, that you can help each other to become Krishna conscious does not require entering Grihastha ashram. The brahmacharis, they can do that, helping each other like that. I have another dear brahmachari friend from the old days, Balabhadra Bhattacharya Prabhu. Just when I say his name, I become enlivened. It was so sweet. The two of us were doing the Bhakta program together, training the Bhaktas. And we would go out preaching together in many different places. So I have the sweetest memories of my dear godbrother Balabhadra Bhattacharya. So in this way, whether you're a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, you must make relationships and help each other to become Krishna conscious. You must find intimate friendship. Just like our Narottam Das Thakur. Ramachandra Sangha Mage Narottama Das. I'm always hankering for the association of Ramachandra Chakravarti. So in this way, you must make intimate friendships. That way you become very, very strong in bhakti. Any other questions?
What will be the result of living alone without no ashram?
What will be the result of living alone without any ashram? It will be very difficult to be Krishna conscious. Very, very difficult. Many tried and many died. It's very, very difficult. Man is a social animal. If you don't remain associated with devotees, you will associate with non-devotees. And your bhakti will be spoiled. So always remain somehow or another connected with devotees. If you have to live outside by circumstances, then you have to associate as much as possible with the devotees. Even if you can't be with them, you have to always hold them very dear within your heart. Just like Prabhupada sent one young brahmachari, Shivananda Sen Prabhu, to Germany, all alone. He had no association. All by himself in Germany, trying to start the movement, just one brahmachari. So Prabhupada wrote him a very nice letter. He said, "If you'll always remember my humble teachings, then you'll always have my association and the association of your God brothers also." So if one has, by circumstance, has to live away from devotees, then one should always remember these wonderful teachings of Prabhupada and always hold Guru and Vaishnava as very dear within the heart and associate with them as much as possible. Any other questions? Yeah.
How you came to the point that you got to marry? Hmm? How you came to the point that you must marry, that you want to marry?
How did I come to the point?
Yes.
Actually, I was, my GBC instructed me to get married.
No. My GBC instructed me to
get married. I was just a surrendered brahmachari. I did whatever my GBC told me to do. He said, "Now I want you to get married." Yes, Maharaj. I was just surrendered brahmachari. Prabhupada told me to follow my authority, so I did that. Just like in, it was arranged by my GBC. So. Any other questions? No, actually, it's after 9 o'clock now. So we'll stop here. Nantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai!